Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time. Once again, we can come into your house to study your word. And even as we take up the book of Ecclesiastes once again, the Lord, you will be with us, guide us, and enlighten us. May we learn how to practice these principles that we are learning into our lives. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is learning how to eat and drink and, you know, learning what it means to rejoice in the sight of God. Previous week, we dealt with the idea of how, previously, when we had YAG, we dealt with the idea of how sometimes people can end up eating alone. They have all the riches in the world, and yet they can end up being by themselves, eating in the dark, and they are angry, they have sicknesses, and they are unhappy, right? And so that was what we dealt with the previously in Ecclesiastes 5. Now, today we're going to the next part, next passage, and we deal with the opposite of it, right? And so in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18, it says, "Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage." Now, one of the things that we want to deal with today is this idea of joy. You know, very often, joy is something that we have when we are younger, right? Children, they all learn how to enjoy things, they play, and to them it's very straightforward. But as you grow up and you become an adult, you go into the working world, there are many things that can rob you of this sense of joy, right? Work can rob you of joy. You know, colleagues that are not nice, they can rob you of joy. Your bosses can rob you of joy. You know, when things become overwhelming, it robs you of joy, right? To me, joy is very important. You know, and one of the things that you want to learn how to do is how to maintain joy in your life. Because the moment you lose that joy, even though you are a Christian, whether it's working or even in ministry, the moment you lose that joy, it really affects you. Right? You don't find the strength, you can't sustain what you're doing, and so on. And so to me, one of the key things in life is to be able to maintain that joy. Can you see that? And so here we see Solomon learning how to, or rather explaining how we can find joy in one thing, one aspect of life. Okay? So here he says to enjoy the good of his labor. And we all know, we understand what it means to labor hard, right? So obtaining blessing from one's labor, enjoying the fruit of your labor as you work hard. After a year or so, you get a nice bonus. You can enjoy it, right? Taking the time to enjoy the good of your labor. So if you don't work hard, okay, at the end of it, you get evaluated and your boss says, oh, you know, this year hasn't been good. And then your bonus isn't so good, right? You don't get rewarded, okay? But if you work hard, and it's recognized, then along the way, there's a nice bonus or something that goes with it, and then you can enjoy the good of your labor. Right? Okay? Now, that is something that we all go through. But when you walk with God, there's this added thing called blessing. God will specially bless the work of your hands. Now, work is from God. Okay? Here it says, which God gives him all the days of your life. So if he is faithful to God in what he has given to do, he fulfills his responsibility. Right? He is blessed because he's diligent in his work. And this is his heritage. He learns how to enjoy what he has. Okay? Now, one of the things in life is that we all must learn how to enjoy life. Whether there's work-life balance doesn't matter. So to me, work is part of the enjoyment of life. I learn to enjoy my work, no matter how hard it is. Because if you are trying to find, okay, work-life balance, I work very hard, I don't like it, but then after that, I try to find something that I can enjoy in. Then you'll find that if work increases, there's no time for you to enjoy the little things of life, then after a while, the joy is gone. So I might as well find joy in working hard. Do you understand? How can I find joy in working hard? Okay, today, tomorrow, Monday, so there's a funeral that's going, they'll be on Li Wei's mother-in-law, Angeline Lai and Carolyn Lai's mother passed away. So there's going to be a funeral. Pastor is going away tomorrow night, so there's a funeral on Monday, and I'll be conducting the funeral. So this weekend, I got 5 messages to do. 5 messages, and, oblique Bible study. And then next week, Pastor is going away. He's going away for 1 week. So next week, work, which I have 4 things to do, I have to complete it this week. So this week, I had 9 things to do. Okay? If I had waited until this week to do it, I would be dead. But I've already done, some of these things 2-3 weeks ago already. I've started working on it already. And this week is just trying to finalize everything. So it was a lot of work to be done. Did I find joy in it? Yes. I find joy in working hard. I find joy in being diligent. I find joy in getting up early in the morning, working late into the night, working at it again and again and again and again. No matter how hard it is. And then learning how to rejoice along the way. Right? This is our heritage. Now, then he goes on to say, so in Ecclesiastes 5 and in verse 18, he says, as for every man, okay, for days of his life, he is supposed to enjoy the good of all his labor. Now, you notice this is also repeated, right? He has mentioned this a few times. Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes 2. So in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24, he says, nothing is better for a man than he should eat and drink, that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. You see? So he has mentioned this already. But in this context, is with reference, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. Right? So this is with reference to your life, how you live your life. You can enjoy the good of your labor when you live your life well. When you live your life, you do good rather than evil. Right? So that's the first context. Now, the second context is, okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 3 now. And in verse 12, I know that nothing is better for a man than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Okay, one, he is good. He seeks to be good in the sight of God. The second one is reference to doing good. Now, I do good. I'm good. I learn to be good. I learn to do good now. Okay? And then in verse 22, so I perceived that nothing is better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Now, the third context is with reference to the unknown. Okay, so number one, to enjoy is to be good. Two is to do good. And three is the unknown. You know what? We don't know what's going to come next. Right? We don't know what's going to come next. And because we don't know what's going to come next, we might as well enjoy our life now. Can you see how he is phrasing all these different aspects to this idea of doing good? Right? And I think that's the something that we want to think about and be concerned about. Okay. So that's the first part. Okay, any questions you want to ask? Do you all enjoy doing your work? You do, right? Well, at least some of you. Right? We should learn how to enjoy life, to enjoy. Okay, now he goes on to say in verse 19, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him the power to eat of it, so to receive his heritage and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Okay, now he talks about rejoicing in your labor, right? Earlier he talks about, okay, we should enjoy good because of all this. Now he talks about enjoying your labor. Right? Right? So the next part, so this is about joy. Right? Which I don't see much now at this point of time in most of you. I think it's the heat lah. Let's blame it on the heat. Right? And then in verse 19 it says, so the source of riches and wealth, it comes from God. Okay, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 18. Okay, in verse 18, it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Give you the power to get wealth. That's very interesting, isn't it? Okay. Down here, and then he goes on to say in Proverbs 10. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 10. So in Proverbs 10 and verse 4, it talks about diligence. Now, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Okay, so man's part is to work hard with diligence, and so on one hand, it is God who gives the power to gain wealth, but on the other hand, it is us working hard. Now, he also gives us the power to eat of it. Okay, what does that mean? The power to eat of it. What does that mean? Gives you the power to eat of it. Why eating needs power? Interesting, right? Why does God need to exercise power for us to enjoy, to eat, to drink, to enjoy life? That's interesting, isn't it? Okay, and he goes on to say, to receive his heritage, to rejoice in his labor. Now, while the Lord is the one who gives riches and wealth, not everyone can eat of it. Okay, Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 11, goods increase and those who increase will eat of it. Okay, so God is the one who gives the power to eat of it. The act of eating food includes the power of God. So tomorrow we will have our gathering and we have nice food to eat. Every time we eat good food, nice food, we have to pray and thank God for it because it is God who gives us the power to eat of it. Okay? Well, that's interesting, isn't it? What do you... Even the idea of just enjoying things, God has to give us the power. And then he goes on to say, to rejoice in his labor. Okay, let's talk about this for a while. How do you rejoice in labor? How do you rejoice in labor? Okay, who has worked the longest here? Weihan, is it? Gabby. No lah, not Gabby. Huh? It's you. Okay. Let's talk about how to rejoice in your labor. Okay, second longest. Who is second longest? See how long you've been working, right? 3 years. Stan? 3. Weihan? 3. Okay, Weihan. Since you're the tallest, how do you rejoice?
Before I answer that, can I quickly ask about the...
So Chung Han is your boss now?
Oh, Tia Chung is not my boss.
Not your boss. Okay.
He just came to an event.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, anyway. No, so the context in Ecclesiastes 5, when I first read it, it talks about rejoicing.
Yeah.
About riches, wealth, power to eat of it, heritage. And then it says, rejoice in his labor.
Yeah.
Does this suggest he's rejoice in the fruits of his labor? Meaning, what comes of it, right? Or rather than the laboring itself. Because I mean, imagine back then the toiling and the laboring under the sun compared to, I mean, now also. I mean, in its original context, it seems labor itself is very hard to be, you know, happy about it. You know, like toiling. That's what I read when I, you know, but I understand where you're coming from in an applied sense.
Yes.
Where am I going with it?
Sure. I mean, of course, it is learning how to reflect and, you know, to look back. And, you know, if you have worked hard, you have been blessed, and then, sure, you can enjoy the good of your labor, right? But here he says to rejoice in his labor. In his labor. Is it just at the end of it? He meant just at the end of it, after the thing is over? Or is it something that we can have at the same time as we labor? To rejoice in his labor. To rejoice in his labor. Sure, I mean, I understand what he is trying to say, right? We understand that it's good for us to just enjoy the good of our labor. Right, he has said that quite a few times here. But then now he says to rejoice in his labor. You see, he changes now. To rejoice in the good of his labor, sure, that's the result of his labor, right? Yep. But now he says to rejoice in his labor. There's a bit of a change.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah.
Right, there's a bit of a change, right? So how do we see this? How do we rejoice in your labor? That's, to me, one of the keys to surviving in this world, in a working world. Okay, who rejoices in your labor? You're happy every day. You get up, you're all set for the day, and the day goes by, you know, you're just so happy. I do. Sure, I'm doing God's work, okay? But I tell you, you want to try? Preparing, get up for you, and 9 chairing for the whole week. Not easy. Nobody finds joy in work. Chloe, okay, let's ask Chloe. How long have you been working already? Okay, half a year, yeah. Okay, let's hear from you. Do you find joy in what you're doing?
I was thinking like, okay, not me, but maybe we can see how people find joy in the absence of work. So like for retirees, like some of them feel a bit like something's missing for them. So it's the converse.
It's okay.
The other way around. not me.
Yeah. Frankly speaking, even if you want to retire, you should have something to do. Because sometimes retiring can be very, very boring. You have nothing to do. Right? So if you so they always say, you know, if you really like what you're doing, you never work a day in your life. Okay, let's ask Yanning. Yanning seems to be quite happy talking about work.
I think I'm happy on my job like 80% of the time.
80%, okay.
Yeah, 20% is the difficulties that come out through work.
Sure.
Yeah, I think for me, I try to see it as God's, like not just a job,
sure,
but God's calling for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think another way is also like not complaining.
So in other words, you must find meaning in your work, right? You see, can you find meaning in every work in this world? My answer is yes. If you know how to find it. Find meaning. When I was a pilot, after a while, defending the country wasn't the thing that gave me the meaning. Because Singapore will never go to war. Right? And we keep doing the same thing again and again. It's all training. And after a while, it became a bit boring. But you know, I learned how to find the meaning in life, in my work. You must find meaning. Because if you don't find meaning, and the meaning doesn't mean it has to be from the work itself. You must learn how to find meaning, even in work. So go beyond just your work. See work in general. Do you understand? Okay, the first thing is meaning. What else? Okay, so if you find meaning, you can find joy in your work. You can find joy, even though it's tough. What do you think, Mason? How long have you been in this new place? New place much better, right?
Yeah, in terms of
time. Yeah, only time.
It's been about 3 months.
Okay, how?
Stressful.
Stressful, okay. Yeah. Now it becomes stressful already.
Stressful, but...
Yep.
I think because the work that I'm doing, or the skills that I'm gaining is very practical.
Mm.
Yeah, it can be transferable to other shipping companies.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I find that purpose, you know, gaining new knowledge, new skill sets.
Sure.
Yeah. So compared to like my previous one.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Like motivation.
Sorry?
My motivation. Just learning like on the job.
Sure. Yeah, good. Joy? Do you find joy?
Very hard. Yeah. I think because
it's very hard. Yeah, sure.
It's very time sensitive and my boss like demands a lot.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think when I manage to solve a problem, then... Yeah,
the joy is there.
The joy is there, but...
Momentary.
But when there's like troubles or like problems that I can't
solve
it on my own, then that's where the stress comes in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. Okay, anybody else? Brian, how long have you been working really?
3 years, sir.
Also 3 years. Okay. How? Joy? No joy?
I try lah. I think it's interesting. It's always something new to learn. So for that, I'm thankful. And then I think I'm also given a lot of like opportunities lah to try new things, learn new things. So thankful lah. But it still remains there.
Have you saved anybody so far? No. Ah, you don't know. Oh, the person come back alive.
No, no, I try not to.
Try not to. What do you mean try not to? You mean you don't want to save the person?
No, make sure you don't get to that point.
Okay. But you haven't had a chance lah.
No.
No, ah. Okay. When I was in the Air Force, I saved 2 people. My 8 years, all my flight, all training, except for 2 flights in the jungles of Brunei, where I Kesavec the guy out to the hospital. Those were the only 2 times. That's it. The rest of the time, not much meaning. But you know, at the same time, I still was able to find meaning and joy in my work. How? Do you find joy at work? I mean, you see him lah.
No, I don't see him at work.
Huh? No.
Different hospital. I mean, it's not easy, but
sure.
I still do have moments where I'm reminded of like why and like the joy of working.
Sure.
Mostly when I banter with my patients.
When you are?
Bantering with my patients. Or like when I'm talking to them lah.
Sure. Yeah, good. Find moments of joy. Okay. How to be sustained at work? If you don't find joy, it's very hard to be sustained in work. Because work will get you down. And then, of course, ultimately, is to rejoice in the fruit of your labor. Okay, let's stop for a while. Do you want to go and discuss, go into groups and talk about this? Ken? We'll take a moment. We'll just go into groups, you all talk about it for a while, and then we'll come back. Ken? Okay? Yeah, let's break up for a while. Let's a bit of a discussion, and then we'll come back. So the older ones, Gabby, only 2 of you.
So we wanted to ask about like the meaning,
yeah,
and whether there are different sources or like qualities that this meaning should have that determine the quality of the joy that you have. So like, say, if the joy, like superficial joy versus joy that can sustain. Like, is there, like, in, like, let's say we find meaning in, like, more pay because we are, like,
sure.
Yeah, you know, like, so is there different, is there, like, a right, so-called right or wrong or better or worse kind of meaning?
Okay, so firstly, I think the usual thing is with reference to being, our pay increase, bonuses, cash, whatever. Government give us voucher, you know. I think those are things that we can still find a bit of joy in these things in life, right? But we also don't want to focus on the money part, right? I think meaning goes beyond just monetary remuneration and so on. I think the challenge is to be able to find meaning in work. In the work itself, right? You make a choice to work where you want to work, right? And it can be mundane at times. It can be challenging. It can be tough. It can be stressful. But can I still find meaning in what I do? And that's the challenge. And the meaning sometimes is not in the work itself. The meaning is in the role, in what I have as a worker in this world, is as a Christian worker, you know, bearing testimony. There are so many angles that I can come with reference to finding meaning as a worker. Right? So if you really cannot find meaning in your work, then find meaning, imbue meaning to your work. Right? Okay, you are a teacher, and sometimes it's, you know, parents really get on your nerve, and so on and so forth. But I like to find, so I was a pilot in the Air Force for 8 years, and I've been a pastor for 30 over years. Right? I've been working for coming to almost 40 years, 30 something years, right? But I find a lot of meaning in working hard. I like working hard. I like to be stressed. The more stressful, so this week I'm very happy. I'm very happy. This is what I love, the adrenaline rush. Wow, so many things to do. Wow, then, okay, let's do it, man. Let's get down to doing it. And wow, so I work late into the night. You know, so yesterday I had 5 things on my mind at one time, going through this, sent to pastor. Don't care whether he has 100 emails, I still send him because I need to clear with him. And this morning I send again. This afternoon discuss with him tonight. So tonight we have a vigil's memorial service to go. After this, I go back, change, go, prepare. I got to prepare for Monday. I got to prepare for 3 messages tomorrow. I got to get up early in the morning. You know what? I love this moment in my life. But when I was a young person, I never liked stress. Do you understand? I love. So along the way in life, I've come to enjoy work. I've come to enjoy hard work. It doesn't matter what it is. So during the week also, I also fire officer, you know? You all got anybody fire officer here? Fire safety officer? In your company, I'm sure you got fire safety officer. Are you a fire safety person? No. I'm a fire safety officer in church. Right? What does a pastor got to do with fire safety? Nothing. But yet, I still have to look after the church. So yesterday, there was these 2 guys from Sengkang Fire Station who came to do a fire inspection of a church. So Michael was here, thank God for him, because he did everything. I was just supervised. And then Uncle George was here. Andy, our architect, was also here. 4 of us go entertain these 2 fellows. Walk around the whole church. Oh, then you inspect this, go and look for all the fire hydrant. You know, when in Bethany 2, the fire hydrant down in basement 1, have you ever used it to wash the basement 1, 2, and 3 car park? So in Bethany 3. I still remember the pressure from the fire hose. A real fire hose is, oh, the water, right? Powerful. When I switch on the thing, it was a tap. I said, how could you put out fire like that? Right? Then thank God along the way it rectified. So yesterday they were going to test it in the basement. I pray, Lord, please let it be powerful. You make the earth, make the fire hose powerful. And the guy, wow, the water was very strong. I was very thankful. After that, wow, George, thank God. And then we also found out along the way that when you have this, additional canopy and tentage and all, you're going to need a license. We didn't know. So we don't have a license. So, okay, we go and apply. Right? He was a bit picky about it. Then upstairs on the roof is not to be permanent. It's not permanent. Right? So we retracted all the cover. Okay, we retracted it. And then he went up. Then he looked at all the fire hose. But he didn't look at the structure that we had. Then he just looked a bit there. Then he left. Then Uncle Josh, let's go. And we came down. So at the end, the inspection was good. But what does that have to do with being a pastor? Nothing. And yet, I did it with joy. We spent 2 hours walking with the guy. Right? When I was in the Air Force, I was organizer of family day. What does that got to do with flying? Zero. But you know, it was my secondary duty to look after the squadron. I was fire officer. I was statistics officer. I was planner for all the flights. What does that got to do with flying? Zero. But I found a way to really enjoy work. I imbue meaning to my work. When I'm on holiday, I'm working. I still work. Constantly I'm working. You know, recently I went to KL to see my in-laws. And I stayed at this place, Le Meridian, at this place called Putrajaya in KL. Okay? And basically all the government buildings are all there. Ministries are all there. And the hotel was next to a shopping center. It is the second largest shopping center in Asia. You guess how many restaurants they have in this one shopping center? You guess? How many restaurants and eateries? 200. And eateries. 400. You go there, you decide what to eat. Because everything is good. You look at all reviews say, wow, how to choose? I have only 5 days here. How to choose? I tell you, and the food is good. Excellent. Right? And then down there, all the Malay wives got nothing to do. Every day they are, you see them with a tudung. The whole restaurant is all filled with them. The men are working. And the wives are enjoying lunch, having meals. It's a Malay form of Tai Tai lah. But they know how to enjoy life. See, to me, it's about working really hard. Do you know how to work hard? Do you know how to imbue meaning to your work? So it's no longer just work. I enjoy working hard. Do you understand? Okay, coming back to Stanley's question. So Stanley was asking, okay, you ask your question again. The one about the second one, I think.
What was my question? Yes. So in verse 19, Solomon basically paints the ideal job situation, right?
Yes.
Where there is good money.
Yeah.
There's heritage to look forward to.
Yeah.
And then he concludes that, oh, because of that, I don't need to worry about my days and I have joy in my heart. But that seems like quite an ideal lah. Like none of us really have that in our current job situation. It's always like one or the other.
Okay, let's move on to the next part because that's what you're talking about in verse 20. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. Okay, what is this joy of his heart? You notice this few verses is emphasizing the idea of rejoicing, joy, and so on. Right? And when we talk about not dwelling unduly on the days of his life, basically, it is not dwelling excessively on the things of life, not worrying and dwelling on things unnecessarily that leads to sorrow and despair. So in other words, don't worry too much. Sure, you cannot not have worry. Definitely some worry, but don't worry too much. Don't dwell too much on work. That's what he's trying to say. Don't worry about the future. Right? And of course, this is what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5. Right? God keeps him busy with work and with enjoyment in life. It is good to keep busy, to have enjoyment in life. And joy is a gift from God. Right? So the joy of the heart, what's the joy of the heart? So it goes beyond just joy in work, rejoicing in work, right? It goes beyond just enjoying life, enjoying the fruit of your labor. Now he mentions the joy that is in your heart. What is that joy that is in your heart? You see, he's moving from just normal enjoying of food, moving beyond just enjoying work. He's now talking about the joy that is in your heart. Right? What is the joy that is in your heart? If you have joy in your heart, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you do each day. If you have joy in your heart, you always have joy. Right? The joy will stay with you, no matter what work you may have, no matter what phase of life you may have. Right? Now he talks about the joy that is within your heart. And joy, as we know, earlier in chapter 2, chapter 3, joy is a gift from God. Isn't it? It is a gift from God, and it's for us to learn how to find that joy within the heart. Right? Can you see? So to me, it's more than just a work. It's more than just, okay, you know what, I don't worry, everything's settled for me. No. I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes to the idea of how we can find a sense of joy that stays within your heart. It doesn't necessarily has to be work. Part of it, it can be work. Part of it is the enjoyment of life, right? So when I was in this place, wow, I went to try this. They call it pan mi, right? In Malaysia, there is something like dry ban mian, right? And then the chili, I tell you, is fantastic. You know, so I was there trying to decide what to eat. All the Malay all go to the restaurant, and then all the Chinese go to this one place. So I okay lah, follow all the Chinese. And they all went to eat this pan mi. I tell you, that was my first lunch for the week. I say, wow, I'm looking forward to the whole week. It was really good. And somehow the food in Malaysia tastes a bit better lah. Right? Yeah, she was so happy. Yeah, right. I mean, you come to Singapore, you find the food a bit not so good lah. But I find, wow, it was really good. The chili is normally chili is a wet kind of chili, right? But this one is a dry chili. You put it in the meat, the noodles, and you mix it. Whoa. It's different from your Thai powder chili. Oh, I tell you, it was really good, man. In fact, I went back the first day and the last day, I said, well, I'm going to try again. The last day, I went back. And I enjoyed it. And then they had this, what do you call it? This dessert. This black stuff. This black kueh lengko, is it? Sorry? No, it's not kosui. It's the... See, I forgot the term for it. It's a black dessert. Jelly. Herbal jelly. Herbal jelly. Black herbal jelly. Yeah, kueh lingkau. Yeah. So they put, wow, they put fruits on it. They put gula malaka. They put, I don't know, I can't remember what lah. Anyway, they put it together. I tell you, it was really, really good. Oh, I tell you, I never tried. And the herbal jelly was really out of this world, man. And they're all very smart. They give only a little. Only. They give everything else a lot. But the thing, the moment I tried that, I say, wow, it was really good. And then they don't sell it by itself. You got to buy. See, they're all very smart. You got to buy the whole thing. But the actual thing is very little only. Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing my in-laws again. Yeah, why? Cannot finish. 300, 400 over restaurants. Can you imagine? My goodness. So at the end of the day, it's this joy of the heart to me that's most important. If you can find joy within the heart, God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. If you can find joy in work, then that is something that will keep you busy every day. You are happy doing it. I've been in Bethany for the last 30 over years. You know, I find a lot of joy serving the Lord. But I can tell you, it's not an easy work. In fact, I find that serving the Lord is more stressful than being a pilot. Anytime. because you're dealing with life. And then, you know, every other day I go to counsel someone. Someone called, oh, Pastor Mitch, can I see you? And you sit down and you got to talk to this person and encourage this person. Or you got to write email to this person and so on. So the challenge is, what keeps you happy? What is this joy that is within your heart? Can you find this sense of joy within your heart? And it keeps you busy. It is something that stays with you. And when you do these things, you don't have to truly worry about a lot of things. Can you see? Okay, coming back to you, Stanley. Does that help you to...
So I think for Solomon, it's very easy, right? Because he says...
Sure.
He links it to the gift, what he describes as the gift of God, which, as you said, is the sum total of everything that is in verse 19.
Yeah.
And then he says, this is a gift of God. And then the word for in verse 20 seems to suggest that because of this gift of God, then you can have the joy of the heart. But what if you don't have everything that he has, right? How do you still find that joy? So clearly we are not in the same situation as Solomon where we have the ideal life.
Yep.
And so there won't be directly that same joy. But how do we find...
But you know, at the same time, he doesn't seem to find that joy also, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he can write about it in theory, but you look at his life. Was he happy? No. So the point is that you can have all the riches in the world and still not be happy with life. He was miserable, especially the first two chapters. So he understands these things in theory, but does it really apply in his life? No. Right? He's not happy too. He's still miserable. Vanities of vanities. Towards the end, he still writes vanities of vanities. So in theory, he understands these things, but whether he applies it is another thing. So that's why I'm trying to apply this for all of us, right? Sure, let's enjoy. Tomorrow, we will enjoy. You know, a nice meal, a nice place. You can play billiards. It'll be quite interesting. Small little billiard table. And there's some games and, you know, whatever. We're just going to have a good time. There's a program. There's nice food. We're going to bond together. To me, what's more important is for us to bond together as a YAG group. That's my point. At the end of the day, right? We are here to bond together as a group. Okay? Two, if we can enjoy life, great. If we can have herbal jelly that's very good, you can enjoy it, great. Happy for you, happy for me. Right? That's up to you. That's up to you to enjoy. Okay? You have the power to eat while you can. One day you cannot eat. I mean, some of your parents cannot eat this, cannot eat that. You know, that's the time, no power to eat really. Okay? Now, secondly is your work. Sure, work is tough. Work is worrisome. Sometimes it can be very stressful. But you know, if you can learn how to find that joy, not just in the work you do, but to find joy in working hard. That's my point. If you can understand this, if you can develop and cultivate this, I can tell you, you can work every day of your life and still find a sense of it. Sure, there'll be struggles on certain days. But generally, you will still find joy in working hard. I love working hard. That is something we all can learn to do. The joy of your labor and the fruit of your labor. Right? And so on. And then thirdly, is to find this joy that is within your heart that keeps you busy every day. And to me, that is the most important. If you can find joy within your heart, it can be rejoicing in the Lord, it could be singing, it could be reading the scriptures, it could be anything that stays, kind of joy that stays with you. You can be anywhere. You can be doing anything. And the joy is still there, right? So I'm applying it. I'm not coming from a standpoint of Solomon. Solomon is a lot of theory, a lot of wisdom, but he doesn't apply it to his life, to me, right? But if you can really find this sense of joy that is within your heart, I tell you what's the greatest joy in my heart now, okay? Very, very honestly. It's reading the scriptures. It's spending time just reading. Reading. I think I mentioned this quite a few times. It's just reading the scriptures for the sure joy of reading it. Last night before I slept, I read 5 chapters. This morning when I got up, I read 5 chapters. And I find that that brings joy to my heart. Sometimes reading it can be a bit challenging, sure. But when you read it, after you've read it, the joy comes. The stillness comes. The peace comes. And I don't worry. Wow, I've got so many things to do this weekend. Wow, how to survive this week? Right? I'm looking forward to Monday at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, when everything's over. No. You know what? I'm looking forward to the whole week ahead. Next week, there are 4 other things to do. Then after that is junior camp, right? Which I'm not doing anything, so... Everybody's doing something, but I'm not doing anything. So I will enjoy the week every day, just come and reach out to the children. do magic show for the children, whatever. Right, but that's my privilege. Last time I used to do it, right? So now it's your turn, your... I'm deemed too old to go and teach them now. But that's okay. That's fine. But you know what? We learn how to enjoy every moment of it. Can you see? So find this joy in your heart. Find the joy of your heart that keeps you busy. A joy in the heart that stays, that is deep, that will not, is permanent, that it will not go away. That was what I was looking for when I started working. Can I find a source of joy? Something that is permanent, that doesn't go away. Because if you find joy in the circumstances of life, it will go away. It's always momentary, for a moment. Right? You can enjoy it for a while. But then it goes. In school, it was like, okay, you know, doing well in grades, getting good grades, you know, winning first prize for horse soccer or netball or whatever. Right? But the joy goes after a while. Right? You graduate, you know, wow, take picture, wow, yeah, you know, your parents are happy. But after a while, wow, it's gone. Then you begin to realize, what is permanent? What is true permanence in terms of joy? That was what I was looking for. And I find that the greatest joy is actually that we are safe, that we have God in our life, that we can read the scriptures, that we can serve. You know what? Anything that's spiritual, that transcends this world, is what is in my heart. Anything that's physical, circumstantial, after a while, so much and no more. Right? So if you can find this, the joy of your heart, keeps you busy. Every day, you find it. You don't work a day of your life. You look forward to working. You look forward to each day. So I look forward. I look forward to the challenges of life. I look forward. I look forward to praying every day. So part of my work, I call it, because it, I consider it as a ministry, is a ministry of prayer. So there's a ministry of the work. There's also the ministry of prayer. Okay, you turn with me to Acts. So in Acts chapter 6. So there was a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. The widows neglected, their widows were neglected in a daily distribution. The 12 were summoned to the multitude of disciples. Of course, this is, you know, complained by the women, right? And this is what they said. It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of Holy Spirit, wisdom whom you may appoint this business, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word. That's what I'm giving myself to. So I pray. I pray for people. I pray for you all. I pray for the YAG one. I pray for my Sunday school class, which consists of 18 women. That is a challenge in itself. Right, what is a 40, 57-year-old man teaching a group of 18 ladies? How does that work out? Right? Sarah, how does it work out? Huh? How come this man can teach 18 women in their 45 to 55 years old? Seems to go the grain of Bethany, right? And yet, it is my joy and my privilege to teach them. And they've been coming every week. Right? It's my joy to be able to teach them. And it, you know what? That's something that I developed through the years. And it's something that you all can have as you develop your life, as you learn how to find this sense of joy within your heart. Can you see? Joy. Don't lose that joy in life. Don't lose that joy as you go on in life. Because there are many joy robbers in this life. They'll come and rob you of the joy within your heart. Don't. Protect it. Keep that joy. Okay? Next time you get married, alamak, another. That one will go through many kinds of rings. Okay? Then your head start ringing all kinds of nagging here and there. Oh. Life will get more challenging as you grow older. Right? As you go through different phases of life. But the challenge is don't lose that joy. Okay? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for these words from Solomon. Though he may not personally practice these things for himself, and yet these things can be applied in our life. So we pray, dear Father, that you will help us to learn how to enjoy the fruit of our labor. Help us to work hard in life and to be able to enjoy. Thank you for this power to be able to eat of it. And we pray for tomorrow's gathering that, Lord, you will bless the time that we will have. May we have a good time of fellowship, listening to your word, and being able to bond together as a YEG one group. We pray also for learning how to find joy in our work, to work hard each day and every day, and ultimately to find a permanent sense of joy within our hearts that you can give spiritually. We pray, dear Lord, that you will help us not to lose this sense of joy that we have in you as we go through life. So bless us, Lord, and bless this gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.